Today is December 30th. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is, what an honor it is to be here with you as we begin the process of closing down another year. And I guess we've been doing that all year, one day at a time, but here we are, December 30th. There's one day left in this year of 2011 after today. And today we begin reading from the final book that we will venture into this year. The book of Malachi is the final of the 12 minor prophets and the last book of the Old Testament. It will be 400 years before God sends another prophet, John the Baptist. As with all the other prophets, God's central message is clear: return to me, coupled with the promise of restoration. In Malachi's case, he is also speaking to the priests who have simply begun to not take the law seriously. For example, the Mosaic law required sacrifices that were pure and spotless. Priests have begun using blemished and blind animals. Throughout the culture, men had begun treating the wives of their youth disrespectfully and still expected God to accept their sacrifices. And on it goes. Same story, different writer, different book. Of course, the parallels are striking. And it doesn't take a degree in theology to apply the circumstances to the culture today. God isn't pleased when we disobey him. And that isn't because he's a self-absorbed tyrant. It's because he knows what is best for us, and he is best for us in all circumstances. And so we conclude the Old Testament with an oracle of the Lord spoken through his servant Malachi. Turn back to God. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 2, 17 today. I am Malachi, and this is the message that the Lord gave me for Israel. Israel, I, the Lord, have loved you, and yet you ask, in what way have I loved you? Don't forget that Esau was the brother of your ancestor Jacob, but I chose Jacob instead of Esau. And I turned Esau's hill country into a barren desert where jackals roam. Esau's descendants may say, although our nation, Edom, is in ruins, we will rebuild. But I, the Lord All-Powerful, promise to tear down whatever they build. Then everyone will know that I will never stop being angry with them as long as they are so sinful. Israel, when you see this, you will shout, the Lord's great reputation reaches beyond our borders. I, the Lord All-Powerful, have something to say to you priests. Children, respect their fathers, and servants, respect their masters. I am your father and your master, so why don't you respect me? You priests have insulted me, and now you ask, how did we insult you? You embarrass me by offering worthless food on my altar. Then you ask, how have we embarrassed you? You have done it by saying, what's so great about the Lord's altar? But isn't it wrong to offer sacrifices that are blind, crippled, or sick? Just trying to give those animals to your governor? That certainly wouldn't please him or make him want to help you. I am the Lord God All-Powerful, and you'd better try to please me. You have sinned. Now see if I will have mercy on any of you. I wish someone would lock the doors of my temple, so you would stop wasting time building fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, priests, and I refuse to accept any more of your offerings. From dawn until dusk, my name is praised by every nation on this earth, as they burn incense and offer the proper sacrifices to me. But even you priests insult me by saying, there's nothing special about the Lord's altar, and these sacrifices are worthless. You get so disgusted that you even make vulgar signs at me. And for an offering, you bring stolen animals or those that are crippled or sick. Should I accept these? Instead of offering the acceptable animals you have promised, you bring me those that are unhealthy. I will punish you for this, because I am the great king, the Lord all-powerful, and I am worshipped by nations everywhere. I, the Lord all-powerful, have something else to say to you priests. You had better take seriously the need to honor my name. Otherwise, when you give a blessing, I will turn it into a curse. In fact, I have already done this, because you haven't taken to heart your duties as priests. I will punish your descendants and rub your faces in the manure from your animal sacrifices, and then be done with you. I am telling you this so I can continue to keep my agreement with your ancestor Levi. I blessed him with a full life, as I had promised, and he kept his part of the agreement by honoring me and respecting my name. He taught the truth and never told lies, and he led a lot of people to turn from sin because he obeyed me and lived right. You priests should be eager to spread the knowledge, and everyone should come to you for instruction, because you speak for me, the Lord all-powerful. But you have turned your backs on me. Your teachings have led others to do sinful things, and you have broken the agreement I made with your ancestor Levi. So I caused everyone to hate and despise you, because you disobeyed me and failed to treat all people alike. Don't you know that we all have God as our Father? Didn't the one God create each of us? Then why do you cheat each other by breaking the agreement God made with your ancestors? You people in Judah and Jerusalem have been unfaithful to the Lord. You have disgraced the temple that he loves, and you have committed the disgusting sin of worshiping other gods. I pray that the Lord will no longer let those who are guilty belong to his people, even if they eagerly decide to give the Lord a gift. And what else are you doing? You cry noisily and flood the Lord's altar with your tears, because he isn't pleased with your offerings and refuses to accept them. And why isn't God pleased? It's because he knows that each of you men has been unfaithful to the wife you married when you were young. You promised that she would be your partner, but now you have broken that promise. Didn't God create you to become like one person with your wife? And why did he do this? It was so you would have children and then lead them to become God's people. Don't ever be unfaithful to your wife. The Lord, God all-powerful of Israel, hates anyone who is cruel enough to divorce his wife. So take care never to be unfaithful. You have worn out the Lord with your words, and yet you ask, how do we do that? You did it by saying, the Lord is pleased with evil and doesn't care about justice. Revelation 21, 1 through 27. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared, and so had the sea. Then I saw New Jerusalem, that holy city, coming down from God in heaven. It was like a bride dressed in her wedding gown and ready to meet her husband. I heard a loud voice shout from the throne, God's home is now with his people. He will live with them, and they will be his own. Yes, God will make his home among his people. He will wipe all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, suffering, crying, or pain. These things of the past are gone forever. Then the one sitting on the throne said, I am making everything new. Write down what I have said. My words are true and can be trusted everything is finished. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will freely give water from the life-giving fountain to everyone who is thirsty. All who win the victory will be given these blessings. I will be their God, and they will be my people. But I will tell you what will happen to cowards and to everyone who is unfaithful or dirty-minded or who murders or is sexually immoral or uses witchcraft or worships idols or tells lies. They will be thrown into that lake of fire and burning sulfur. This is the second death. I saw one of the seven angels who had the bowls filled with the seven last terrible troubles. The angel came to me and said, "Come on, I will show you the one who will be the bride and wife of the Lamb." Then with the help of the Spirit, he took me to the top of a very high mountain. There he showed me the holy city of Jerusalem, coming down from God in heaven. The glory of God made this city bright. It was dazzling and crystal clear, like a precious jasper stone. The city had a high and thick wall with 12 gates, and each one of them was guarded by an angel. On each of the gates was written the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. Three of these gates were on the east, three were on the north, three more were on the south, and the other three were on the west. The city was built on 12 foundation stones. On each of the stones was written the name of one of the Lamb's 12 apostles. The angel who spoke to me had a gold measuring stick to measure the city and its gates and its walls. The city was shaped like a cube because it was just as high as it was wide. When the angel measured the city, it was about 1,500 miles high and 1,500 miles wide. Then the angel measured the wall, and by our measurements, it was about 216 feet high. The wall was built of jasper, and the city was made of pure gold, clear as crystal. Each of the 12 foundations was a precious stone. The first was jasper, the second was sapphire, the third was agate, the fourth was emerald, the fifth was onyx, the sixth was carnelian, the seventh was chrysolite, the eighth was beryl, the ninth was topaz, the tenth was chrysoprase, the 11th was jacinth, the 12th was amethyst. Each of the 12 gates was a solid pearl. The streets of the city were made of pure gold, clear as crystal. I did not see a temple there. The Lord God, all-powerful, and the Lamb were its temple. And the city did not need the sun or the moon. The glory of God was shining on it, and the Lamb was its light. Nations will walk by the light of that city, and kings will bring their riches there. Its gates are always open during the day, and night never comes. The glorious treasures of nations will be brought into that city, but nothing unworthy will be allowed to enter. No one who is dirty-minded or who tells lies will be there. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be in the city. Psalm 149, 1 through 9, a new song of praise. Shout praises to the Lord. Sing him a new song of praise when his loyal people meet. People of Israel, rejoice because of your Creator. People of Zion, celebrate because of your King. Praise his name by dancing and playing music on harps and tambourines. The Lord is pleased with his people, and he gives victory to those who are humble. All of you faithful people, praise our glorious Lord. celebrate and worship, praise God with songs on your lips and a sword in your hand. Take revenge and punish the nations. Put chains of iron on their kings and rulers. Punish them as they deserve. This is the privilege of God's faithful people. Shout praises to the Lord. Proverbs 31:10-24. A truly good wife is the most precious treasure a man can find. Her husband depends on her, and she never lets him down. She is good to him every day of her life, and with her own hands, she gladly makes clothes. She is like a sailing ship that brings food from across the sea. She gets up before daylight to prepare food for her family and for her servants. She knows how to buy land and how to plant a vineyard. And she always works hard. She knows when to buy or sell. And she stays busy until late at night. She spins her own cloth and she helps the poor and the needy. Her family has warm clothing, and so she doesn't worry when it snows. She does her own sewing, and everything she wears is beautiful. Her husband is a well-known and respected leader in the city. She makes clothes to sell to the shop owners. So Malachi is riveting, and those of you who have been here all year, you have begun to see the story unfold. Not just begun, you have seen the story unfold. Those of you who are just coming on board going, okay, what is this daily audio Bible thing? What is this Bible thing? Should I do this in the coming year? And you listen to something like Malachi as an entree, you go, okay, so animal sacrifices, God's mad, don't divorce your wife. Okay, how do I make this work? And yet what you find and what you will find and what we find as we go daily through God's word, feasting upon it, nourishing our spirits through it, is that the heart of man is contained within the Bible. So we may have a different cultural overlay, but the heart of the matter is the same. And in this case, God is going to the leaders, the priests, and saying, you have lost your North Star here. The law that was given for you to obey was to bring the best of the best to God. Now you have allowed time to lapse and have decided the best of the best isn't the important thing. So you're bringing these blemished animals, these blind animals. You wouldn't give these to your rulers. You wouldn't give them to your governors. You wouldn't give them to the present leaders in human form before you. And yet you're trying to pass them off to me. So you might as well shut the whole thing down, because I'm not even present to this. You might as well shut the temple down. This is a waste. So often in our own lives, and the Bible, I believe, is going to truly challenge us on this count next year. So often in our lives, we want a relationship with God. We don't want to lose that connection. We don't want to lose what we have. But we're definitely not bringing our whole heart into the relationship. We're definitely not bringing the best of the best of who we are and offering it into the service of the kingdom of God. We're giving what's left over. We're giving what we can muster up. The equivalent of a spotted or blemished sacrifice, a blind sacrifice, because that's what it is, that we become a living sacrifice, living, holy and acceptable to God. This is our reasonable service, Scripture tells us. And so when we bring a half-hearted effort, we're not bringing the real deal. We're looking for whatever we can keep the connection with, whatever we can get out of the deal. We're not bringing the best of who we are. yet this is what we're commanded to do. And this is where real life is. So yeah, this can be a challenge. And it should be a challenge. And it is a challenge. But only in giving all of who we are to God do we invoke the promises that we get in return, all of who He is. It's only in dying to ourselves that we get His life. It's only in surrendering everything that we're holding on to that we get the freedom that we know has got to truly be there somewhere. And so, even though we have one more day, those of us who have been present every day this year, let's press into what God is saying. Because this is a strong way and a strong thought to be lingering around us as we prepare to launch into a new year strong. And if you're just coming on board, get ready. Your life is not going to look the same 12 months from now. You are not going to look at the world the same 12 months from now. And the reality is it will have almost nothing to do with me and everything to do with God's word. In fact, the only thing that will have to do with me is that I'm sitting here reading it and facilitating the context for community. But you are going to know people that you don't know now, from places on this earth that you may or may never go. You will develop relationships and friendships with people and an intimacy with God's word and through God's word with God himself that you'll never be able to turn away from. So get ready. The adventure of a lifetime is upon you, and you belong here. This has been waiting for you your whole life. So I'm looking forward to it. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the power of your word, for the challenge of your word. You are mighty. You are sovereign. You are glorious. You are beautiful beyond description. Jesus, your passionate love for us is something that we cannot truly fathom. We have our human understanding of love, and we do agree that laying one's life down and dying, giving up humanity, giving up life as we know it, on behalf of another, this is the greatest love, the most sacrificial, self-giving love that we can know. And yet your love goes beyond that. You are the sovereign God who allowed your creation to shed your blood, the only thing that would restore us to you. And we thank you, for your resurrection is our resurrection. Your victory is our victory. And we thank you for coming for us and not giving up on us. And we thank you for all that this means. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Come for the rest of this day as we contemplate what your word is speaking to us. Come to us in the rest of this year, this one more day that we have. May we finish strong so that we begin a new year strong in your word. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. The website is the jumping off place. It's home base, no matter where you are on this planet. If you got an internet connection, you can find your way back to the home base for the community here. And you can jump off into any number of things. Just peruse the website a little bit. But you can chat with people. You can go into the forums and begin discussions about things that are going on in your life. We have groups, a men's group, a women's group, an over 50 group, a high school and college age group. You can jump into those if it's applicable. We don't allow men into the women's group and women into the men's group, that sort of thing. But you can jump into a company of men and share what's going on in your life. You can get into a fellowship of a sisterhood of women and discuss what's going on in your life as it relates to the Word of God. There's all kinds of ways to reach out, and someone will reach back. If you want to partner with that mission, which is to bring the spoken word of God to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, anywhere, any time of day or night, and to create a community around it so that nobody ever has to be alone again, then you can do that at the website. There's a link on the homepage. If you prefer, the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And Daily Audio Bible is a 501c3. I don't talk about that all the time, but here we are at the end of the year. And if you were considering charitable giving as a tax-deductible write-off, then that is possible through Daily Audio Bible. You will be reseated, and we are a 501c3. So giving either through the website or the mailing address, as long as it's posted by December 31st, will be fine. P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. If you have a prayer request or comment, as always, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. And that will do it for today. This is it. One more day together in the year 2011. I love you very much. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, my name is Patrick, and I called a couple of weeks ago regarding the fact that I was labeled almost on the edge of manic depressive or schizophrenia. And I just wanted to give a praise report, because this morning when I woke up, I looked outside and it's a winter wonderland out here. It's just all white. We had a big snowstorm last night, and the Lord said to me that white signifies purity, but also healing. And this is the first time in months, well, not just months, but years, that I have woken up and not been depressed or angry or having confusing thoughts. I have a joy in my heart that I haven't had for years, and an anticipation that life is worth living. One of my favorite birds is the eagle. I have so many posters, pictures, and little trinkets and statues of eagles. I just think the eagle is when you look at an eagle, it's determination on its face. It's got determination. And that's what I believe the Lord is saying, that I'm giving you determination, that He has plans for us, not to harm us. This is Jeremiah, but to give us a hope and a future. And in Isaiah 40:28-31, it says that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And that's why I just love the significance of that about the eagle, because it basically has no predators, very little predators, and it can soar high and high and high. And that's what I believe that the Lord wants us to do, soar above our circumstances, above our problems, and to wait on Him. And I believe the Lord told me that this morning, just to wait on Him more instead of just getting depressed, and you know, a lot of times when people get depressed, we sleep to get away from reality, but you always have to wake up and face reality again. Can't sleep forever. So anyway, I want to thank everybody out there, Daily Auto Bible family, for your prayers. And I've heard a few other Canadians call in the last couple of weeks, and I'm happy to hear that there's other Canadians out there listening to the DAB. And again, I want to thank you for your prayers, and it just, I believe that there's another scripture says that He is our Father, and every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift. So, thank you again. I'm praying for you all as well. And Brian, I'm praying for you and Jill and your family. God bless you. And Merry Christmas. Bye for now.
Hey guys, this is Ben. I feel like a little bit of a time traveler because I'm just starting to get into December of 2010. I started at the beginning of 2010, and it's taken me 2 years to get through the yearly Bible. But this is the first time I'm calling in, and you know, I don't know. I pray a lot to God to change my attitude about things or change my thoughts about things, and I don't know. I've been going through some rough stuff. I've gone through some rough stuff in the past, and God's always seen me through. God's always provided around every step, and He's providing now. I just feel a little frustrated or maybe a little bit down. Things are hard. My wife and I are both teachers, and right now, for some reason, we're public school teachers, and for some reason there feels like there's a big backlash against public school teachers, you know, and we go in and we do our best, and you know, just because students may not perform the way we would want them to or the way we know that they can, you know, things are a little bit hard. And you know, and now things like pay, you know, being talked about, being tied into those things. I just feel really beaten right now. You know, we have quite a bit of student loan debt, and we're living day to day. And you know, for the past, I know this isn't what Christmas is about—not buying gifts. You know, I know it's about Jesus. You know, and but you know, this year we're looking at, well, no gifts for kids. You know, our own children, and things just feel like they're overwhelming, you know. And I know God'll work through. God'll prove to us. Not that He has to, but God'll show us that He's here. But I don't know. I just feel like I need prayer. And to be honest, I don't even know what to say or how to pray. But I appreciate it.
Hello. This is Paul from England, and I live in a town called Havant in the county of Hampshire, and I have a prayer request for a lady in her 40s in my church. She had breast cancer a few years ago, but she didn't go the chemotherapy route and went the natural way, and eventually, she had to have an operation. And now she's very poorly and not well at all. So I would value your prayers for her, that the Lord will bless her and heal her. She doesn't say what is wrong with her and keeps it very quiet. So we can only assume exactly what the problem is. And we do hope it hasn't spread to other parts of her body. But her husband helps her in church, and she comes to church every Sunday, and I attend a local Baptist church. So thank you very much for your prayers in this, with, and joining with me for praying for her for complete health. Her name is Ruth. And if you have any words of encouragement, or any messages, or anything, you can email me on the following email address, p.scott223@bcinternet.com. That's p.scott223@btinternet.com. And thank you very much, Brian, for all the work you're doing at Daily Audio Bible. Very encouraging to hear it. Message in.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Annette. I'm kind of new to this stuff here in Oklahoma City. And, I thank you all for being here. And I'm really glad to be part of this because I haven't been a part of church in a really long time. And I just kind of stumbled upon this. And man, I can't believe what a difference it's made in my life. And, you know, I've had some trouble with marriages and all that good stuff like everybody else has. Welcome to all our family, right? And I can't believe what a difference it's made, you know. Talk about Proverbs coming up and having some good information when you need it. You know, it's really made a huge impact with my marriage with my husband because sometimes, you know, he gets kind of PTSD on me, you know. He's a victim of all the stuff, of people coming back and, you know, gets angry and doesn't know why. And, you know, it's good to have some words to kind of calm situations and shed light that, hey, man, maybe this isn't the best way to go, right? But I really need a prayer request from you guys. It's December 10th. I am going to be going through my third surgery on my feet, and I tell you what, it just pain every day of my life for the last 8 years. I just don't know how much more of this stuff, you know. It just, you know, I used to be a real active person and everything was great. And now it's like, you know, you're on the couch, man. You ain't going to do nothing for the rest of your life. You know, you can't hardly even walk. And now I get to go through another one. And I just hope something happens here that, you know, maybe this will go good this time. You know, but I heard something the other day. I know I've been kind of trying to catch up to everybody, y'all, in December, and I'm in June, and I hit on the July thing on, you know, when they were talking about spiritual warfare and things like that, and I had these mystery pains that just keep coming and going, and, you know, they've put me on everything from, you know, all that good drugs and everything that they think are just so wonderful that doesn't do a thing for anybody, you know, all the way from Advil to Lyrica and on and on and on, and it just seems like none of this stuff goes away, and, you know, just constantly. And I heard that deal on spiritual warfare, and let me tell you, I prayed in the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ for this stuff to go away, and I can tell you, it was like almost an instant relief. I don't know where it came from other than the power of the Lord. That is, I mean, that's all I can say. And, you know, I was pain-free for a long time other than the pain that they're going to do surgery in my foot for. And I was, like, so thankful. It was just, what a relief, you know, to be without pain for even just a short time, you know, and then I come back and I just, look, man, you got to go away. I don't know what you're doing to me, but, you know, I'm not going to let it happen, so you better get, right, you know, and, you know, the pain would go away for a long time, and it seems like it's going away longer and longer, and, you know, hey, maybe that was it, you know, obviously, I'm gonna bring you down however I can, right, and so, you know, I'm not going to make that agreement with the devil that you're going to let, I'm going to let you in my life and bring you down. You know, I'm going to get rid of you. So, you know, hopefully everything will work out, and I pray that you guys, you know, keep me in your thoughts for the surgery coming up, and hopefully everything will go good, and maybe I'll get a little relief, right? Okay, I love you guys, and every time I hear you guys, I look for the next podcast to hear you guys doing well, and I'm so thankful that I hear that from you guys, okay? I love you all. Take good care, all right? Bye-bye.